May the words that I speak and the meditations of all of our hearts find favor with you, O Lord. Amen. The key word today in our lectionary is relationships. Relationships, relationships, relationships. It's the theme that binds together all of the readings in today's lectionary. In the Old Testament, we see our most fundamental of all relationships, our relationship with God. Usually, in the Old Testament, the God we see is a God of power and might, the patriarchal God, he who must be obeyed, the God of thunder and of lightning. But not today. Not today in the Old Testament lesson of Isaiah. Isaiah gives us a mothering God, a God who nurtures her children, supports them, a God who comforts and consoles them, a God who eases their pain. When I read this Old Testament lesson, I was reminded of a conversation I had several years ago with an old friend who was a veteran of World War II. He was an army engineer. He was in the D-Day invasion. And as an engineer, it was his platoon's job to hit the beach first and to knock out the enemy emplacements, the landmines, and the barbed wire. And he said within 10 minutes, 90% of his platoon were dead or wounded. He himself was wounded in the arm. And as he lay there bleeding, because it would be hours before he could be evacuated, he said his most lasting memory of that horrific day was the one word that came out of the mouths of all those wounded and dying soldiers. It was a variation of the word mother. Oh, mama, oh, mama. Mama, please, mama, take the pain. Oh, mother, please. He never forgot that. It haunted him until the day he died. He said he realized that these soldiers were praying, and they had conflated with their mothers with God, and they were praying to that mothering God. They were praying for comfort, for consolation, to take away the pain. We all need that mothering God. We all rely on that mothering God. As we get older, we rely more and more on that mothering God. When we're young, we have our mothers to kiss our boo-boos, make the pain go away. But as we get older, we lose our mothers. We turn more and more to that mothering God. As we face the infirmities and indignities of old age, as we face the regrets from our lives, as we face the loss of loved ones, more and more, that mothering God, our most fundamental and enduring and perhaps endearing relationship is to that mothering God. Now, the second lesson, Paul's letter to the Galatians. Paul lays out our relationships with one another as Christians. And he says that one of the defining things that makes us Christians is our willingness to bear one another's burdens. Now, we're told that we should bear our own burdens. You bear yours, I bear mine, everything's good. The problem is, we can't always bear our own burdens. Sometimes those burdens are too big and too heavy. And that's when we turn to our relationships with family, with friends, with our faith family. I had an experience a few weeks ago where I had a burden that I could not bear alone. And I turned to my faith family. That burden was a very literal, physical burden. I wanted to march with First Lutheran's banner in Poughkeepsie's first Pride Parade. But I couldn't do it by myself. So, Linda Connor said, hey, no problem. She was like 3 weeks from her surgery. No problem, I can hold up an end of it. No problem. But I still needed somebody else. So I went downstairs during fellowship and I spotted Adele. And I said, Adele, can you come with me? I want to march in the Pride. I have First Lutheran's banner. She said, I would, but I have to volunteer. I volunteer out at Lutheran Care. I said, oh, okay, that's okay. All right. She said, but what time? I said, well, we're supposed to step off at noon. And she said, well, that's not a problem. I don't have to be out at Lutheran Care Center until 2 o'clock. I'll go with you. So there we were, the three of us, marching down Main Street with First Lutheran's banner. And Linda was only a half a step ahead of the biggest drag queen I ever saw in my life. And she was wearing these huge platforms. Had she stumbled, Linda would be but a memory today. But it didn't happen. It didn't happen. We got down that hill sharing that burden. First Lutheran knows a lot about burden sharing. We seem to do it almost effortlessly, without thought. Pastor was talking about it last week. She said, you know, something comes up unexpected. A leader will rise, people will follow. Each person brings what skills and talents they have. And it all happens, whether it's family fun day, Shirley taking the lead, or putting together Gordon Doyle's funeral. Maria steps right up, assigns job, we all kind of fall in effortlessly, almost without thought, seamlessly. We pick up one another's burdens. I'm so proud to be part of this congregation that does take seriously our relationships with one another as Christians. We do carry one another's burdens. Lastly, I wanted to look at the gospel today. The Gospel according to Luke. And here we're confronted with a different relationship. The relationship that's spoken about in today's Gospel is our relationship with others. Others. Now in this Gospel, the others are the Gentiles. And the apostles are being sent out to carry, to teach and preach the word of the Lord, the good news of Jesus Christ. And they are given very specific instructions about how they are to behave. They are to carry very little with them. They are to eat whatever is given to them, drink whatever is given to them. When they go to a house, they are to stay with that family in that town, to establish a relationship with that family. The apostles, I refer to this as the guide to successful apostleship. They are told very specifically what they are to do. I looked up the definition of an apostle. An apostle is one who is sent by another with a mission or a message. Sent with a mission or a message. An apostle. And as I read it, I thought, you know, this guide to successful apostleship really could be the guide that I was given in training as a Peace Corps volunteer. They were the same lessons, the same guidelines. An apostle is an agent or an ambassador. Well, you know, they were ambassadors and apostles of the gospel. As a Peace Corps volunteer, I was sent as an ambassador of the good news of the American way of life. And I was trained to carry very little. I had one suitcase, to stay where I was sent, to form relationships. And so I left for India for 2 years, and I was assigned to a poultry development project. Yes, chickens. Chickens are not very complicated animals. You can become a chicken expert in about 12 minutes. I'll prove it to you in a few minutes. And I was assigned to be with a young woman from Springfield, Missouri, Kathy. Kathy and I are friends to this day. We email every day. And Kathy and I were assigned to work on this poultry farm in Gujarat, in India. And off we went, with a suitcase in one hand, a bicycle in the other. Ambassadors, apostles. We were about as welcome as a skunk in a picnic. First of all, the director of the poultry farm that we were assigned to had no idea we were coming, and even less interest in greeting us. He was about 2 months from retirement, and he took his retirement even before that. And when we got to the poultry farm, we realized we had a problem. There was one sick chicken wobbling around the poultry farm on one wing. We killed it, ate it. It was delicious. It was the last meat we had for 3 months. But that was it. We were on a poultry farm with no poultry. And then we found out even worse news. 85% of the people in our area were Hindus. That means vegetarian, complete vegetarian. They not only didn't want our chickens, they didn't want our eggs. And I turned to Kathy and I said, come on, let's knock the dust off of our sandals. Let's get out of here. But Kathy, much wiser, much more patient, she said, no, let's stick around. Let's stick around for a while. So we sent away to Bombay and we got 100 little chicks. They came in the mail. Chick, 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 chick. But of course, it was going to be months before we got any eggs out of these chickens. In the meantime, we were invited to teach conversational English at the local junior college. And our neighbor was a family planning officer, so I would go with him out to the villages, talk about family planning. And our Gujarati lessons, our language skills improved, and we made some friends, we made some relationships. Those chicks grew, started to lay eggs, and we realized, wait a minute, 85% are Hindus, but 15% Muslim, and a few Christian families. So we actually did set up some private poultry farms, which was what we were supposed to do. So we did have some modest success. But then God sent the answer. The vegetarian egg. We developed the concept of the vegetarian egg. Now here's the quiz, folks. Here's the quiz. True or false? A hen will lay an egg whether or not there's a rooster around. True? True. Yeah, I told you, you're all poultry experts. True. A hen doesn't need to have a rooster in order to lay an egg. A hen has within her every egg she will ever lay. A hen needs the rooster if the egg is to be fertilized. But if the egg is not fertilized, if you remove all the roosters, that hen will continue to lay eggs. Is there any life in those eggs? No. Hence, they are vegetarian eggs. It sounds even better in Gujarati, even better. So we invited people to come. We had isolated all the roosters in one cage. They were not happy. And we had all the hens. And we said, look, look, see, see, they're laying eggs. They're laying eggs. No life in those eggs, vegetarian eggs. You can eat these, wonderful source of protein. And the men were just so happy. They were like, yeah, we're going to buy eggs. Yeah, and they would come down to the poultry farm and buy eggs and eat them raw. And we said, no, no, we got a Primus, and we made them omelets. And then they'd send their wives down to learn to make omelets so that they could bring the eggs home so that they knew their kids needed more protein in their diet. So we had some modest success. But all the success that we had was because of the relationships that we had formed. In fact, our greatest success was those relationships. And those relationships extend to this day. Relationships really convinced us that there is no other. There's only us. We're all together on this beautiful, spinning, little blue planet that we call home. Relationships are the key to our survival. Relationships, relationships, relationships. They are truly the gift that keeps on giving. Can I get an amen?